Hello, and welcome to Kingwood United Methodist Church. Thank you for joining us today. Wherever you're listening from and whatever service you're listening to, we strongly believe because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is always
more to life.
Good morning to those who are here and those who are online. Welcome this morning. My name is Stacy Sweet, and I am one of the pastors here at Kingwood United Methodist Church. It's an interesting Sunday here, a slightly different Sunday, but not in a lot of ways, which is kind of cool. What's cool about it? So just because you're over here and can't be everywhere on Sunday mornings, you may not know that, obviously, you know, I'm preaching here, but in the sanctuary, we also have had two other pastors. Deneen has preached this morning for her internship, and Elizabeth Moreau is preaching for the Call to Sent Commissioning. And Sarah Reyes, who is always over in the Refugio, is preaching this morning. So I just think it's a moment to just stop and appreciate the fact that all these women have listened to their call and that we've had the opportunity to share that. And kind of how that came about, it wasn't a let's have all the women preach kind of Sunday. It was actually just here's the schedule, here it is. Here's how it all works out. And then we actually just happened to look at it and realize, oh, wow, look, all the women are preaching on one Sunday. So that was what was really cool about it, too, was that it wasn't intentional, that it was just the movement of the Holy Spirit and just listening to that call to preach as well. So that's what I really want to celebrate. So we are continuing in our series. And my screen just froze. Maybe we're continuing in our series. There we are. Oh, maybe not. Hold on. I did print it, so, and this is exactly why I always print it. Holy cow. I don't know why it's not. I'm just going to move it. We're going to go with Plan B. All right. Moving right along. Now I have to mess with paper, but that's okay. So, restoration. God did not restore my laptop, but hopefully he will my sermon. So, we're in our restoration series, and as we move through this series, God restores people, he restores communities, and he's working together to restore his kingdom and all of creation. When Jesus taught us to pray, he said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." That's God's restoration plan right there. And that prayer helps to align our hearts with God's intentions. And that restoration and reconciliation are closely related. We are restored so that we may be reconciled with God and be fully in his presence. And it's through this series that we're examining God's restoration process and how discipleship is part of that process through today's sermon. I've got to arrange here a little bit since I wasn't planning on this. So our scripture for today, Mark 10, 46 through 52. Go ahead and open your Bibles. You know what? I think we're going to stand for the word of God. Let's do that. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. The word of God for you and me, the people of God. Amen. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background on Mark so we can put this scripture in context. because I think it's important to see where it lies within the book of Mark. Mark's divided kind of into three sections, and we're in the middle section right now. This is actually the last healing miracle, the last miracle that Jesus performs before he heads to Jerusalem. But this portion of Mark that we're going to talk about is where Mark is trying to help us see who Jesus is. It begins, and it's framed by two stories of blind men being healed. So it starts in Mark 8:22 with the healing of the blind man at Bethsaida, and it ends with this blind man, Bartimaeus, being healed. In that first story, the man's sight is restored. He can see everything clearly, and Jesus sends him home. He says, don't go into the village, because it wasn't time for Jesus to make his ministry completely public in that way. But here, in this story, we see the complete opposite of that. This section of Mark is filled with healing and teaching. It has the transfiguration in the middle. Mark is really trying to communicate to us who Jesus is. It concludes with this story of Bartimaeus being healed. But there's a few other things, too, that I want you to notice. The story just prior to this is the story of James and John. And they also ask Jesus to fulfill a request. And Jesus uses the same words. What do you want me to do for you? But with James and John, it kind of goes horribly wrong when they reply that they want to sit at Jesus' right hand and one at the left. And Jesus tells them, guys, you're not understanding. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. And then we go straight into Jesus leaving Jericho. And that's where we are now. And Bartimaeus is sitting on the roadside begging. This is the last healing miracle. And here we are, not with Jesus teaching to a crowd of people, not with the disciples, but the section ends with a man who is deemed worthless by society, who is hopeless and helpless by what the world sees. And this is where we're going to see, in these six verses, the entire gospel explained and played out. And we're going to look at it verse by verse, so keep your Bibles handy this morning. Verse 46. Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Like I said, when you're sitting by the roadside begging, at that point, you're pretty helpless or feel helpless and considered hopeless. It's kind of the end of the road. He has been cast to the side of the road. And there's times like that for all of us in our lives where we have been sidelined by life. And after a certain number of years, if you haven't already been sidelined by life, you know that that potential is really real because you've seen it in those around you as well. And so at some point in our lives, we're sitting on that side of the road. But how we got there doesn't really matter. If you contrast this with the rich young ruler who we read about earlier in the chapter, who approaches Jesus and asks to give everything to the poor, Jesus replied to him when he asked, what should I do? He says, give everything to the poor and follow me. And the rich young ruler walks away from Jesus. But now we have the story of someone who has nothing. He doesn't have anything to offer. He doesn't have anything to hold on to. So we join Jesus as he's leaving Jericho. And as he's sitting by the side of the road, he sees Bartimaeus. In verse 47, When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." It's the first time that we see this Davidic allusion where Mark is implying Jesus' messianic claim, that he is tying him to Jerusalem, the very city that he's leaving Jericho and he's going to Jerusalem. That's where he's headed. That's David's city. David, in his time, provided hope. He was the hope of Israel, and Bartimaeus recognizes this hope and recognizes that his hope is found in Jesus. And he hears from the crowd that it is Jesus of Nazareth, but he shouts out, "Son of David." He can't see, but he can hear. So he must have heard stories of Jesus feeding the 5,000, making the lame to leap and the deaf to hear. Not just Jesus of Nazareth. This must be the Son of David, the hope of Israel. He's able to see who Jesus really is. In verse 48, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And right here, I want us to use this word crowd and world interchangeably. So when I say crowd, think world, okay? The crowd tries to tell us, the world tries to tell us that we are too insignificant or our sin is too great. The crowd does not want us to see or hear him. The crowd tells you that you are not worthy and just accept that this is your lot in life. You are right where you need to be. There is no hope for you. Be quiet. Your sin is too great, and you will never escape the consequences of it. So why even bother seeking Jesus? Restoration is something that this crowd discourages. It tells you that you're not worthy. Sometimes the people around us fear restoration. Family systems, societal norms, patterns of addiction, all work together to maintain a status quo. Don't rock the boat.
Thanks again for joining us for today's message. We will return to the sermon in a moment, but first, we would like to ask for you to rate, share, and subscribe to our podcast. We believe God is doing some amazing things here at KUNC, and your feedback helps our church to reach new listeners that we wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Now, let's get back to the Word.
When we change, that system has to change. It has to adjust, and systems don't like that. It tries its hardest to keep us where we are or pull us back in. Sometimes we can't tell the difference between the crowd and the voices in our head. The voices that we hear that don't speak truth are not from God. It's Bartimaeus' faith that opened him up to the healing power of Jesus. The renewing, life-giving, sight-restoring power of Jesus. Bartimaeus' faith is what opened that door, what made it possible for him to see that. And he goes on to say, "Have mercy on me." He understands who Jesus is, what his unique power is, and what his authority is. He doesn't stop when the crowd rebukes him. Instead, he shouted all the more. Don't let anyone stand in between you and Jesus. Not your pride, not your sin, not the crowds, not the world. I want you to ask yourself that question. What do I let stand between myself and Jesus? Is it addiction? Is it fear? Is it the need to control? Is it things disguised as busyness that we pursue in pursuit of the world's definition of success? do you call out for Jesus over the sounds of the crowd? Verse 49, Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." And this is important. Jesus stopped. He didn't keep walking. He just says, "Jesus stopped." He was able to distinguish between the noise and the cries of the crowd and hear the true cries of a beggar. Did Jesus hear him or see him first? We don't know. It doesn't matter. But now he does. And he wants us to understand that the Holy Spirit is constantly searching out for the blind Bartimaeus types. That is what the Holy Spirit does. It searches, he searches out the blind Bartimaeus types and makes their voices heard. Jesus leaves the 99 to search for the one. He stops and listens to the beggar. We either have been lost or are currently lost, currently blind. And Jesus stops in his tracks for us as well, listening to see exactly where you are. Another word that Jesus uses in this particular verse is call. It is the exact same word for call that Jesus uses when he calls his disciples earlier in Mark in chapter 1, verse 20, and chapter 3, verse 13. It's the same word. He's calling Bartimaeus in the exact same way he called his disciples. But look who he's calling. The least, the last, the lost, the despised, the outcast, the cursed, the person everyone else didn't want to acknowledge and had completely forgotten about or wanted to forget about. In verse 50, he throws his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." He eagerly responds to Jesus. The cloak would have been what he sat on while he was begging. When he got up, he tossed it aside. He was leaving behind his old life, his old position as a beggar on the side of the road, and he was moving towards Jesus. When we are moving towards Jesus, we know there is something better in store. Our old identity is left behind, and I think Bartimaeus already knew he was about to be healed. He was eagerly running towards Jesus. That was a garment he was no longer going to need. There was something better in store, and he was about to have that personal encounter with Jesus. I think about him approaching Jesus eagerly, and then I think about the previous story about the young rich man approaching Jesus. And in my mind, I see him kind of approaching cautiously and carefully. I don't think that he probably ran up to Jesus. He was still holding on tightly to his old way of life. He couldn't let go. That rich young man could not let go. He walked away from Jesus at the end of the encounter, sad and unchanged. Scripture uses that exact word. He walked away sad. But Bartimaeus has an entirely different experience. He approached Jesus empty-handed, ready to let go of his old life, not still keeping a chokehold on his sin and brokenness. His faith was in whatever Jesus had in store. He didn't even know exactly what that was going to look like. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. And the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." It's the same question, like I mentioned earlier, that James and John asked Jesus just prior to this story. Their request was to sit with Jesus in his glory. They offered up their pride. But what if Jesus asked you this question? Would you offer up your small problems? Your pride? Or would you offer up the underlying systemic problem that's going on in your heart and in your life? Previously on this road, when the crowds, when the world, when people would pass by Bartimaeus, they would offer a little food, maybe, a little money. Definitely not in abundance, enough to keep him from starving, but probably barely really living. They gave him a temporary fix to the symptoms that were showing. And that's what the world offers us. A quick fix that seems to address the issue, but does not sustain us. It's not a life of abundance. It's not a life of overflowing. We were not meant to survive on minimal amount. We were given new life and the opportunity for new life through Christ so that we could live life abundantly. The quick fixes address the problem or the issues, but they don't sustain us. They don't get to that heart of it. But this question reveals our heart. It reveals what we know and understand about Jesus. It revealed what James and John thought about Jesus and why he was there. But it also reveals what Bartimaeus thought and knew of Jesus. The blind man responds, "Rabbi, I want to see." Now he's calling him rabbi, teacher. He knows that there's more at stake here than his healing, that he's about to learn something really, really important. And faith heals us because it requires something of us. Bartimaeus wanted liberation from this old life. Faith requires moving towards something that was previously unseeable. I'm going to say that again. Faith requires moving towards something that was previously unseeable. And faith brings people beyond the symptoms, beyond the surface, to the source of the problems. Jesus goes for full restoration. I've kind of thought about this week as I've been thinking about it. Like, what would, like, we have all these fixer-up house shows on HGTV, you know, what would it look like to have like a Christian Jesus-based restoration show on HGTV? And what would that look like? When you look at the graphic that we've been using throughout the sermon series, what if it's only fixed on the outside? What if the engine hasn't been redone? What if the engine's missing? Jesus goes for fully restored. He doesn't just shine up things a little bit on the outside, buff a few scratches out, slap a little paint job on it. He goes for the deep stuff. He wants to make sure everything about us is fully restored. He offers us the full engine replacement and the bodywork. Jesus is after our hearts, and the world only offers what's shiny on the outside. So once we are restored, this is what happens in verse 52. "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Y'all, this is the mission of the church. This is our call to follow Jesus and help others to follow him as well. When we go back to the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus is teaching us how to pray, what does he say? "Deliver us from evil. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses." There's no I statement in that. It's us. Throughout that prayer, restoration is for all of us, It's a group project. We were meant to do it together and not as individuals. And that's exactly what Bartimaeus does in this. He gets his sight and he follows Jesus down the road. We're not just restored individually, but we're restored as a community so that the kingdom will be restored. Our restoration is so that we play a part in God's story and part in God's plan. Make sure I'm on the right page, sorry. Jesus heals, and Bartimaeus follows into discipleship. His restoration leads to deeper discipleship. We can kind of tell that because of all the healing miracles in Mark, Bartimaeus is the only one who is named. So scholars take that to mean that Mark obviously knew his name, became familiar with him, and that others who would read his account would also be familiar with his name. He went from sitting on the side of the road to following Jesus along the road. We go from being stuck in one place to moving along the road with Jesus when we step out in faith. And we don't do it alone, we do it as part of a community. I'm gonna ask the band to come on back up. As we come to the end of this, like I said earlier, this is the gospel in 6 verses. This is the Great Commission shown to us, what it's supposed to look like. This is what we are called to do. It's to listen to the call of Jesus over the sounds of the world, respond by leaving our old lives behind and moving towards Jesus. And then it is Jesus and his grace and his love. There's nothing more we can do at that point. It is all him that he willingly and fully and faithfully does. That's where his grace and love are just poured out and we get to experience it. And he heals us and he restores us. And then we follow him. And then because we can't imagine doing anything other than following Jesus so everyone else can truly know him, we become disciples in order that others may be restored. This has been God's mission since the fall of man. The entire story of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is God's rescue and restoration project. We enter that story when we encounter Jesus, see who he really is, leave our old lives behind us, and are restored through Jesus Christ, and then follow him and tell others about him. 6 verses. Sometimes you'll hear people talk about being able to share your testimony in an elevator ride so that you can share that with people. Well, this is kind of, I think, God's little elevator version of that. It's 6 verses. It's not long. It's not real complicated. We make it complicated sometimes. We make it hard sometimes. But when we truly reach out in faith, when we're willing to leave that old life behind, when we can truly see who Jesus is and even just grasp just a piece of who he is, because Bartimaeus still didn't fully know, but he went to Jesus. He addressed him as rabbi. He knew that Jesus was going to continue to reveal himself to him. And that's what he did through his discipleship. It's how we are called into discipleship, and it's how discipleship forms us.